Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Admiral Phillips, and joining me in this endeavor into the stars is...
Joining him on the deck of his ship, the Future Imperfect, it is I, Captain Mike the Birdman Dodd, and yes, we are trekking into the future that is indeed dark, unknown, and potentially very cool. We're talking about Star Trek Discovery Season 2. What does it mean? What's going to happen? We don't know. We've got ideas, theories. What do we want to see? What do we don't want to see? And all sorts of crazy ideas and stuff that we hope to share with you, our listeners. Because hopefully you're not from the Mirror Universe, although, God, I hope that makes an appearance, but not too soon. You can't go back to that well too often without ruining it.
So... Before we begin this, I will preface this with saying I'm going to run down the news very quickly and then make our commentary about it. I know some of this is a couple, like, anywhere from a week or two old, depending on the information, but I still find it relevant. So, Season 2 will have zero to do with Mirror Universe, but it will have everything to do with Section 31.
Ooh.
They dropped a clip that had Mirror Emperor Georgiou on the homeworld with her little storefront, as it were, with the Orions. And there was a guy that was disguised with holographic technology to look like a Trill. And I was like, we didn't see Trills this early on, or that we know of. And she's like, you're not a Trill. You don't, you know, and... basically saw through it, and then he gave her a left a black badge on a table in this video, and alluded, you know, that they could use her skills to protect the Federation from itself, and essentially recruited her into Section 31 at the end of this clip, which was interesting. And it kind of makes you wonder where it's going to go in Season 2. And then also, they have stated that, you know, issues with the Klingons may flare up in Season 2. And then there may also be, more or less, there's going to be more connecting it or trying to connect it with the Prime timeline. Because I guess they're firmly committed to showing that. And I don't know if that's because of the plan all along, or if it's because of the pissing contest of the fans, of, you know, how does this fit? Particularly with, like, Klingons and other things like that. but it'll be interesting to see how they explain away this thing. Not only that, but they've managed to... say that this second season will have more of an exploratory and dramatic tone, or diplomatic tone, with also the casting of Inhuman star Anson Mount to play Captain Christopher Pike.
Ooh.
Which is an interesting choice, because he does kind of resemble Jeffrey Hunter. In a sense, he has that same kind of look and the same kind of stern face, same kind of hairline, same kind of facial features. So it kind of fits more than, like, the Bruce Greenwood look of Pike. And so I'm kind of down with that, honestly. I just don't know if they're going to do, like, say, Spock or something in the next season. But regardless, it's going to be interesting. And then additionally, we have... the fact that Netflix is not footing the bill for Season 2, whereas they did for Season 1, which means CBS has to come up with it. So we may see more of a lessened use of, like, the shininess of, like, brand new uniforms and a lot of things like that. I think we're going to see a lot more of, like, the original series style of, like, Captain Pike's Enterprise-looking uniforms popping up. Which would actually be a welcome addition, being that they should be moving towards that direction anyway in canon. So,
I think they're going to have a hell of a time trying to explain that, and to the point they should just ignore it. The show for its time was a byproduct of the 60s. Let some of its design stay in the 60s and just be like, you know what? It's a soft reboot. Deal with it.
Well, this is my dilemma with it. I could deal with some of it, but like the Klingons, that's like the one thing that I put my foot down. Like I could deal with like the uniforms and some of the other the stuff in the timeline, but a lot of it, like the warp drive thing, like I can get over that. Like obviously it's gonna look more advanced now than it would back in the 60s or like even in the 80s or 90s. So like I can get past that. That doesn't bother me. Like the Klingon redesign, I still don't know the rhyme or reason because every series but this one has Klingons that somewhat resemble each other, and these have like completely foreign looking like Cardassian mixed with Orc mixed with Klingon, and so it's just funky to me. Now the uniform thing they've explained as it's a thing with the Constitution class ships. Like the rest of the fleet has like the Discovery type uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution class starships, each one has their own comm badge style, just like the original series. But and then they have those specific like sweater looking sweatshirt uniforms, to kind of explain, you know, that they're going on more of a diplomatic exploratory style look instead of the military look that we've got with Discovery.
I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things I love about Star Trek fans, and one thing I don't like about Star Trek fans, sometimes y'all too nitpicky. And I don't know. The Klingon thing, okay. I get that. The uniform thing, okay. The Captain Kirk uniforms of the 60s looked stupid. They were shirts with arms around, with braids around the wrists. That's not exactly a good, really quick way to tell someone's rank in the military. I want to be able to glance at them and know exactly who they are. At least in Star Trek The Next Generation, that was solved with rank pips. Now, yeah. I know in the traditional military, yeah, you look at the guy's shoulder and see how many kind of chevrons he has or whatever.
See, that was kind of my problem with Discovery, even on itself. Like, yeah, they had the pips in the badge. But you really
couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell. And then the thing is they had different colors to like part of the braids to the shoulders, mm-hmm. For like captain or different things like that. But even that, I couldn't tell like who was what. Like it was still too hard to tell. Like whereas like you get TNG, DS9, and then the TNG films, like you could tell what their rank was, and even the original series to some extent. Like they had the thing on the shoulder because it was. You know, they had different pins for each rank. And you had to pay attention to that one more so. But you could even tell which department they were in based on the collar.
I mean, something like that. I mean, strictly from what I understand, when you're in a military situation, you should be able to glance at somebody, know whether they're your...
Captain or an admiral or a lieutenant.
Whether they're a higher officer than you, whether they're an NCO... or an officer, period. You should be able to know that right away, just so you can follow chain of command. Should something bad happen, okay, that guy's in charge, sort of thing. If there's no confusion on the field, like, oh my God, what color is his comm badge? It should be like, okay, he's red, three things, cool, he's in charge. It should be just a glance and snap your fingers, and you know exactly, okay, that's the dude, so to speak. So, I don't know. That's a nitpick I have. Hopefully they'll fix it in season two.
Well, I think that when they design the uniforms, obviously they're going to look a little bit more updated than what the original series was. And I expect that. And I don't expect it to look like exactly like the original series. That's not what I'm nitpicking on. I'm nitpicking the fact that they threw this show in this place in continuity, that it has already pre-existing things. And they're trying to make it fit. It's like trying to fit a square, you know, peg into a circle hole. Like it just doesn't, there's some level of renovation and change, like what they did with the Enterprise, like showing up at the end of season one. Like that was like a perfect updating and nod to the original series without taking away from what it was. And so yeah. I feel they're going to do the same thing with like even the bridge aesthetics or the, or with the uniforms. Like there'll be subtle updating changes to it, but it'll still highly resemble what the original was. And that's all I'm hoping for. Like, I can overlook little nitpicky things like that. Like, it doesn't bother me. The Klingon thing is still, like, the most, like, alienating thing for me in the entire series over anything else that we've gotten so far.
So here's my question for you. So season two is told to be more exploratory, more diplomatic, if you will. Do you really see that happening?
No.
Does this crew seem like the people who are going to go out and make a peace compact with the Andorians? I don't see that.
No, I don't see that either. And I think that the Enterprise being in that place, I think that they're going to be part of the situation predominantly through the season, even though they say that they're not. Because ultimately, everybody crapped their pants when the Enterprise showed up.
Which, they shot themselves in the foot by doing that. If they want Discovery to stand on its own, let it stand on its own.
Yeah,
let it be its thing.
Although I will say that there is one good thing to this of them connecting to the Enterprise at this point with Captain Pike is we only got one episode with Captain Pike, and you'd get to see number one. You'd get to see like majority of these characters more fleshed out than what we got in that one episode of the failed pilot. So in that essence, like, I'm kind of excited to see where they go with it, because Pike is like this living legend, and yet you don't really ever get to meet him.
Yeah,
he's just a cynical like dick in the one episode he's in, and then that's about it. Like, you really don't get to a taste of who he is, but you get the fact that Spock has such respect for him that he works with the Talosians to purposely break command and deliver Pike to this world to live out a perfect life. So, you know, in the episode The Menagerie of the original series, so. It's kind of, it would be nice to meet the man behind the chair. And so, and this may even lead to the point where like the Enterprise goes into its refit at some point during the series, because it gets a major refit again before Kirk, and, Pike becomes an admiral and then gets, or a Commodore or something like that, and gets injured, on a mission. And it could be very well a mission and with the Discovery. Like, I see him eventually possibly captaining the Discovery instead of the Enterprise at some point.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Which would be more his style and could lead to the fact of how he gets injured in the first place, because they never really state what ship he was on. They say it was like a freighter, but they don't really say like anything surrounding it of whether he was still captain of the Enterprise. So it would be interesting to see if that takes place in the series, but yeah, I'm enthusiastic to see where the second season goes, especially with the invention of 31 showing up, Section 31.
I want to see more aliens. I want to see more Andorians, and I know we saw a lot of them on Enterprise, or at least a lot more of them. I want to see more Tellrites. I want to see Breen. You know who I really want to see, because I know they've only ever really been talked about a few times? Show me Tholians. Hell, you know what? Let's go blasphemous here. Give me a Discovery version of the Borg, because why the hell not? If you can make a mushroom drive work, you can make the Borg work.
Well, this is my thing. Section 31, if they're in existence, would have shown up right after the Borg were encountered by
Enterprise?
Archer.
Yeah.
And would have commandeered some of the technology and been having this in their back pocket arsenal for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. So I am completely cool with them doing something neat. Or show me some real Romulan intrigue, not just this vague stuff we got back in, like, TNG. No, I want to see stuff happening in the Romulan Senate, like reunification. Give me some real stuff. Give me trap Michael on the planet for, like, 2 weeks just to blend in and be, like, a Romulan page or something. I don't know. Give me something cool. Give me some real give me some Battlestar Galactica-level politics here. If you're going to play in this version of television, you're going to have to bring your A game. And I think the storytelling for war I think is very easy in some ways. If you want to tell more exploratory stories, more diplomatic stories, yeah, that's hard. But it's one thing to tell Battlestar Galactica. It's quite another thing to tell the story of discovering brave new worlds and strange new
lands. And that's why like TNG did so well, was because they had a lot of social economic type issues that came up throughout the series. You know, whether it's between, you know, is Data a life form? Is, you know, a lot of these aspects came up, and it just had a lot of personal moments that could be associated with real life people, and that's partially why that series kind of flourished, because it was pretty much all peacetime. You had a few skirmishes here or there, but I mean, it was pretty much all peacetime, and then you had, you know, Janeway basically fighting for her life the whole time, and then you had Sisko like constantly at war. And so it was kind of, you know, each series had its strengths, and this one I still feel like it has to find its footing.
Yeah, exactly. So now with the introduction of, say, 31, you have the ability to tell some really cool spy stories. And in this age of the American designated survivor, stuff like that, Jason Bourne even, you've got some possibility here. You can do some really cool stuff. Like, one of the neatest things that someone told me about, I haven't seen this for myself, just because I just haven't seen it yet, Cat. There was a teleporting sniper, or there was a transporter sniper rifle that was in DS9. You give me some spy action like that in Discovery, I am all in, man. You give me teleporting assassins or intrigue with aliens and Borg and whatever else you want to throw in there.
I want to see a changeling.
Yes! You put a change... Hell, maybe... Who knows? Maybe the changelings have been secretly involved in the Federation for years.
Maybe that's...
Or Trills have infiltrated. You don't know.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see what they do. I'll be looking forward to seeing what they do. I think if we see Lorca, the Prime Universe one, although they've insinuated that they won't, that they'll they've somehow insinuated that Mirror Lorca didn't die.
What? No!
He was disintegrated.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He was vaporized. He was Goku'd.
I've seen people, like, saying that, oh, Mirror Lorca is still, you know, and I'm like, no, he disintegrated. Like, he's dead. That's as dead as like Prime Giorgio that was eaten by Klingons. Like, she's in somebody's colon. Like, she ain't coming back. But it would be interesting to see if Prime Lorca is still alive somewhere and maybe embedded in Section 31. Because somehow, yeah, I just don't see that dude not being a dick in every timeline. And if we see him, I think we'll see him at the end of the second season. Like, he'll be like the lead up to third.
Yeah, like, I think Discovery got lucky with its first season. Sure, the first couple episodes were rough, but then more or less, it was a success. People liked it.
I think that the reason why they threw the Enterprise in, not only for storytelling to try and connect it with the Prime timeline, especially with the consistent complaints, was the fact that they wanted to get the rest of the fan base on that weren't subscribing to Discovery in order to sign up for CBS All Access now that Netflix was no longer footing the bill. Because how else are you going to get them other than connecting to the original canon?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was meant to, hey, we're going to win here. We're going to win over the fans because we're awesome and stuff. But we'll just have to kind of wait and see what happens with that. I mean, ultimately, Discovery has a lot of stuff to prove. And we're going to see what happens over the next... Presumably, we'll see it in like a year or so.
I think it's supposed to... I think they started shooting this month.
Yeah, so we'll probably see something. My guess is we'll see something in September. They'll split it in the two halves like every television show is doing now.
Yep.
Which I'm totally fine
with. Which I'm fine with. I just wish that they came out all at the same time so I could just binge it all at once.
Yeah,
instead of this weekly crap. Like, if you're going to have it only available online, like, having it come out every week is a bit annoying.
Yeah, but you know what?
They're trying to
It's nice to have weekly television again.
It is, but I would rather it was actually on television if that's the case.
Well, if you're Canadian, Steve, you can pay for that privilege.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
But, no, I don't want to subscribe to CBS All Access, so that's part of it. But
yeah,
because I find it a bit of a garbage shoot. Like, if it was Netflix, like everybody else is getting, like I would be down for it. But I don't want to do the other way. So, anyways, the other bit of news that kind of has been floating around is the fact that Viacom. And, well, CBS bid on Viacom, which owns Paramount, and used to be a part of, like, all of this company used to be all part of CBS a long time ago anyway, like back in 2005 when Enterprise was on the air. And then right after Enterprise wasn't on the air, they had a colossal split, which is why we had a different TV universe and a different movie universe, because they couldn't legally touch parts of the same franchise. So CBS, I guess, lowballed Viacom on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Viacom's like, no, we want you to pay $2.5 billion more dollars than what you originally did. And then they're having like complaints over like who's going to be in charge of different management aspects. So like when this eventually takes place, because let's face it, this is the era of giant companies owning everything. But when it happens, I wonder how that's going to affect Star Trek in the films and in the the television universe, like how they're going to connect them again. Because obviously, I think something's going to go down to where the Kelvin universe is just going to stop. And then you're going to see more stuff regarding the prime timeline start coming back.
Oh, likely. The Kelvin universe was a failed experiment.
It did its job in revitalizing the franchise.
It got people talking again. That's all it was ever meant to basically do.
Yep. And we had a nice three films.
I still haven't seen the last one.
You're missing out. That's actually the best one. It's the most original story, because Kurtzman and Orsi did not write any of them, and JJ didn't have anything to do with it. And you had the Fast and the Furious director running it. And,
oh, Justin Lin, I think, was the guy's name.
And you have Simon Pegg writing it. It was perfect. Like, it was... I mean, it wasn't perfect, like, flawless or anything, but it was the most fun, like, entertaining, like, we've gotten in a Trek movie in some time. It was very entertaining. I enjoyed a lot of it. Plus, they threw in a nice little nostalgia piece that takes place, before Archer's timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Or somewhere thereafter. Yeah, it was actually before Archer, like a piece of history in there. So it was kind of a nice nod. But kind of reminded me of the like Star Trek: The Voyage Home in a sense, and the search for Spock, and in certain regards. I'll leave it at that so that you can watch it. But I really enjoyed that. But it'll be interesting to see what they do when they reconnect the two parts of the company to create a full and united CBS and Star Trek again.
We'll find out when the show premieres, presumably, likely, my guess will be late October, November.
Something like that. The other thing, I know you haven't been keeping up with Star Trek Online.
No.
They're about to come out with their fourth expansion in June. Victory is Life. So they're going to be expanding into the Gamma Quadrant.
Mm.
And beyond. So they kicked off a new storyline. The Invasion of the Mysterious Herc. I don't know if you remember them. Martok.
Yeah.
And Worf mentioned them. Anyways, so Martok is in this. And Odo's made a return. Captain Nog's made a return. Kira's going to make a return. Bashir's going to make a return. Quark. Jem'Hadar leader guy that watched over, you know, the... I can't remember his blasted name. Anyways, they're going to have... they're going to have Garak reprising. It's Jeffrey Combs, the guy that played...
Wayoon, yeah.
Yeah, Wayoon and Brunt. So both are going to be there. They're going to have Chase Masterson coming back as Leeta, and then Nog will be back as well. So it's going to be very entertaining having all these cast returning. And they're raising the level cap to 65. It's been, like, capped at 60 for years. But I'm very much looking forward to this because I've run out of storyline to play in my, like, 8 characters. So I love how it connects to the original canon. And they're constantly, like, innovating it and adding more to it. But it's been fun. Plus, they just had First Contact Day in the game,
mm-hmm.
which was a lot of fun. So, yeah. Other than that, like, have you had any chance to watch, like, the Orville?
Nope. I have absolutely had no time. I've just been caught up with a lot of personal stuff. And honestly, a lot more games have come out than I expected. So I'm reviewing a lot of stuff for, like, Twig right now. So my free time is... at a surprising premium right now.
Nice.
But hey, it's better to be busy than bored out of your skull, right?
So. Yeah, exactly. Kind of mentioning the like Star Trek collectibles, I mentioned in Altered Geek that I had the various comm badges. What I didn't say was that progress has started on Odyssey uniform.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes. So I'm kind of geeking out about that.
I'm still hoping to get some stuff to review for the Replicator. So hopefully we'll find out in the future what's going on. I just sent an email.
Nice.
So I'll let you guys know when I hear back in hopefully a few weeks. So.
Yep, and I might be bringing back the Elkar segment. We'll see. If I do, it'll be a much shortened capacity because... it's one of those things where I'd like to edit quickly various shows that I record and then play games in my free time because I like my free time.
Production takes time, but sometimes you can streamline production, but you got to make a sacrifice somewhere. So.
Yep. So anything you want to add to any of the Trek thoughts or conversation?
I just hope season 2 can be just as successful. You've proven you can be a success. Now don't let us down.
Yep.
So I guess if people want to get a hold of us, they can do that in the following ways.
They can send it to feedback@ussfutureimperfect.com.
And if they want to find us on Twitter.
At SCP21 or at FutureWarped.
You can find me, consequence-free, at BirdmanDodd on Twitter. And I hold the rank of Lieutenant Commander on the USS Future Imperator. We're always recruiting. Yes. We're in our shakedown cruise right now. So hopefully you'll see us be one of the more active ships in Starfleet as things move forward. And we look forward to flying alongside the rest of our charter members.
Yes, we do. So until next time, get on.
Wrong show, Steve. Until next time, my friends, live long and prosper.